鸟儿的欢鸣，溪水的婉转。
There is in every living creature,
听，爱与恨，悲与喜，苦与乐，得与失。听，跳跃的文字，灵动的声音。
You're listening to More to Read。
欢迎收听轻松调频美文阅读 More to Read， 我是沈听，让我们在这里一起听美文学英语。今天我们将会听到英国小说家安妮·勃朗特的一句话，中国唐代诗人王之涣的一首诗歌《送别》。最后让我们继续来读美国著名作家斯科特·菲茨杰拉德的短篇小说《The Sensible Thing》。
More to read.
用文字抒发感情，用文字诉说故事，用文字穿越古今。
Daily quote.
Because the road is rough and long, shall we despise the skylark song? Anne Bronte. 只因道路崎岖而漫长，难道就可以无视云雀的歌唱？安妮·勃朗特。我们今天听到的这句话出自英国女作家安妮·勃朗特的诗歌《Views of Life》，生活观念。安妮·勃朗特是19世纪英国著名的小说家和诗人，英国文学史上著名的勃朗特三姐妹之一。由于各种原因，他在后世的名气远不如创作《简爱》的夏洛蒂·勃朗特和创作《呼啸山庄》的艾米丽·勃朗特，几乎被人遗忘。作为勃朗特家最小的女孩，安妮温柔娴静，安静内向，和两个姐姐相比天分稍低。她只活了29岁，而且在短暂生命的后十年，从事郁闷的家庭教师工作就占据了她很多时间。但他还是写出了两部小说，《艾格尼斯·格雷》和《威尔德·菲尔庄园的房客》，在英国文学史中占有一定的地位。Because the road is rough and long, shall we despise the skylark's song? Anne Bronte. 只因道路崎岖而漫长，难道就可以无视云雀的歌唱？安妮·勃朗特。
More to read.
闭上双眼，静静聆听，敞开心扉，慢慢品味。
Poem of the day.
送别，王之涣。杨柳东门树，青青嘉峪河。近来攀折苦，因为别离多。Farewell by 王之涣。Spring wind blows through the willow trees, so green and green along the shore. Twigs cannot be picked late with ease. Parting in sorrow must be more. We 刚才听到的这首诗歌《送别》出自唐代著名诗人王之涣，英文版本由杨自立翻译。《送别》是唐代诗人王之涣所作的一首五言绝句。长安城外，王之涣与友人即将离别，当时正值杨柳生长的春季，于是王之涣有感而发，写下了这首《送别》。诗的前两句写景，不仅点明了送别的时间和地点，还渲染出浓厚的离别情绪。杨柳则是送别的代名词，于是一见杨柳就让人想到离别。绿色的杨柳树 夹杂在玉河两岸，看似恬静的环境反衬出诗人与友人离别的不舍。诗的后两句抒情，通过侧面描写别人送别而攀折杨柳，反映送别的人多。后两句看似平淡，仔细咀嚼则意味深长。诗人折或者不折杨柳，内心的悲楚恐怕都已到了无以复加的地步。这首送别小诗清淡如水，短小精悍，款款流露出依依惜别的深情。纵观全诗，字字未提送别，却字字点题，其中的描写可谓言简意赅，给人留下深刻的印象。
More to read.
文字的世界，用心用心聆听
Beauty of Words。
在上一期节目中，我们一起读了美国作家斯科特·菲茨杰拉德的短篇小说《The Sensible Thing》，要务实一些的上半部分。今天我们接着来把这部小说读完。斯科特·菲茨杰拉德善于刻画20世纪20年代繁荣已极而危机四伏的美国社会，被称为爵士乐时代的桂冠作家，其代表作是长篇小说《了不起的盖茨比》，而他一生也创作了多个短篇。而我们今天读到的这则短篇小说作于1942年，收录于《悲哀的小伙子们》啊。好，下面就让我们继续来读由菲茨杰拉德所写的这部短篇小说。中文版本由轻松调频的主持人念希为您朗读，由潘少忠翻译。The Sensible Thing by Scott Fitzgerald。
要实际一些，斯科特·菲茨杰拉德。
On a damp afternoon in September of the following year, a young man with his face burned to a deep copper glow got off a train at a city in Tennessee. He looked around anxiously and seemed relieved when he found that there was no one in the station to meet him. He taxied to the best hotel in the city, where he registered with some satisfaction as George O'Kelly.Cusco, Peru.
第二年九月的一个下午，天气潮湿，一个年轻人在田纳西州的一座城市下了火车，他的脸庞晒成了深铜色而闪闪发光。小伙子焦急地四下一望，发现车站上并没有人接他，反倒显得轻松了。他叫了辆出租车来到城里最好的旅馆，颇为自得地登记了自己的姓名、地址，乔治·奥凯利，来自秘鲁库斯科。
Up in his room, he sat for a few minutes at the window, looking down into the familiar street below. Then, with his hand trembling faintly, he took off the telephone receiver and called a number. Is Miss Jonquilin? This is she. Oh.His voice, after overcoming a faint tendency to waver, went on with friendly formality. This is George O'Kelly. Did you get my letter? Yes, I thought you'd be in today. Her voice, cool and unmoved, disturbed him, but not as he had expected. This was the voice of a stranger. Unexcited, pleasantly glad to see him. That was all.He wanted to put down the telephone and catch his breath. I haven't seen you for a long time. He succeeded in making this sound offhand. Over a year. He knew how long it had been to the day. It'll be awfully nice to talk to you again. I'll be there in about an hour.
他上楼进屋，在窗前坐了几分钟，眺望窗下那熟稔的街景。然后拿起电话，手却有点颤抖，拨了个号码。琼吉尔小姐在家吗？我就是。啊。她的声音像是要发颤，马上又稳定下来，用一种友好并且不亲昵的口气说了下去。我是乔治·奥凯利，你收到我的信了吗？收到了，我知道你今天到。他的声音冷静漠然，让他感到不安，却又出乎他的意料。这是一个陌生人的口气，毫无激动之处，能见到他挺愉快。
挺愉快，如此而已。乔治真想割下听筒喘口气。我有好久没见你了。话总算出来的挺随便，有年把了。到底有多久？乔治记得一清二楚，一天也不会记错。能再和你聊聊就太好了。我过一个钟头左右就到你那儿去。
He hung up. For four long seasons, every minute of his leisure had been crowded with anticipation of this hour. And now, this hour was here. He had thought of finding her married, engaged, in love. He had not thought he would be unstirred at his return.
乔治割下电话，整整四个漫长的季度。他一闲下来就想象着这一时刻会是什么情景。如今已经到来。他曾设想重逢时琼基尔已经嫁人了，或者订婚了，或者在谈恋爱。可就是没想到琼基尔会对他的归来无动于衷。
There would never again in his life, he felt, be another 10 months like these he had just gone through. He had made an admittedly remarkable showing for a young engineer, stumbled into two unusual opportunities, one in Peru, whence he had just returned, and another, consequent upon it, in New York, whither he was bound. In this short time, he had risen from poverty into a position of unlimited opportunity.
乔治觉得，他这一辈子再也不会遇上刚刚度过的这样十个月了。对一个年轻工程师来说，他的表现肯定算是十分突出的。他碰上了两次异乎寻常的机遇，一回是在刚刚离开的秘鲁，紧接着就是在他即将前往的纽约。这样短的时间，他已摆脱了贫穷，站到了一个前途无量的位置上。
The house loomed up suddenly beside him, and his first thought was that it had assumed a strange unreality. There was nothing changed, only everything was changed. It was smaller and it seemed shabbier than before. There was no cloud of magic hovering over its roof and issuing from the windows of the upper floor. He rang the doorbell, and an unfamiliar colored maid appeared.Miss Jonquil would be down in a moment.
琼基尔的家蓦然在他身旁出现，他的第一个念头就是这幢房子显得如此陌生，使他颇有恍若隔世之感。一切都是原来模样，可是一切又都变了。房子显得小了，好像也蹩脚多了，房顶上再也没有神奇的灵光笼罩，楼上窗户里也不再飘出阵阵祥云。乔治按了下门铃，一个陌生的黑女仆开了门，说琼基尔小姐一会儿就下楼来。
Then the door opened, and Jonquil came into the room, and it was as though everything in it suddenly blurred before his eyes. He had not remembered how beautiful she was, and he felt his face grow pale,and his voice diminished to a poor sigh in his throat.
后来客厅的门开了，琼基尔小姐走了进来。猛然，房间里的一切在她的眼前都变得模糊了。乔治原来已不记得琼基尔有多美了，现在他觉得两颊发白，声音缩到了嗓子眼里，变成了几声嗫嚅。
He said, hello.And they each took a few steps forward and shook hands. Then they sat in chairs quite far apart and gazed at each other across the room. You've come back, she said, and he answered just as tritely. I wanted to stop in and see you as I came through. He tried to neutralize the tremor in his voice by looking anywhere but at her face. The obligation to speak was on him.But unless he immediately began to boast, it seemed that there was nothing to say. There had never been anything casual in their previous relations. It didn't seem possible that people in this position would talk about the weather.
乔治说了句你好，两人一起往前迈了几步，握了握手，然后坐到了相距很远的椅子里，从房间的两边相互望着。你回来了，琼吉尔说。乔治的答话同样是没话找话。我路过这儿，就想下车来看看你。乔治的眼睛竟往别处，避开了他的脸，想抑制自己声音里的颤抖。他得说些什么才是？但是，要是他不马上开始自我吹嘘，好像就没什么可谈的了。他俩过去从来都不是什么泛泛之交，像这种关系的两个人哪能在一起谈论天气呢？
This is ridiculous. He broke out in sudden embarrassment. I don't know exactly what to do. Does my being here bother you? No. The answer was both reticent and impersonally sad. It depressed him. Are you engaged? He demanded.No. Are you in love with someone? She shook her head. Oh. He leaned back in his chair. Another subject seemed exhausted. The interview was not taking the calls he had intended. You don't love me anymore, do you? He asked her in a level voice. No.
这太可笑了。他尴尬地脱口而出。我简直不知道该怎么办才好。我到这儿来让你为难吗？不，这回答既简短又含有一种无以名状的悲戚。乔治不由得感到难受极了。你订婚了吗？他单刀直入地问。没有。你爱上谁了？琼吉尔摇摇头。啊，乔治往椅子背上一靠。这个话题看来又谈完了，整个谈话的路子跟他原先设想的太不相同了。你不爱我了是吗？乔治用平静的声音问道。是的。
When Mrs. Carey came in a minute later and spoke to him about his success, there had been a half column about him in the local paper. He was a mixture of emotions. He knew now that he still wanted this girl.And he knew that the past sometimes comes back. That was all. For the rest, he must be strong and watchful, and he would see.
一会儿，卡里太太进来了，跟乔治说起了他的成功。原来是当地报纸登了关于他的大约半栏的消息。乔治心里真有一种说不出的滋味。如今他明白了，自己仍然想要这个姑娘。他还知道世上有时候是可能重温旧梦的，就清楚这些。至于别的事嘛，他得表现坚强，得仔细观察，他得走着瞧了。
Then dinner was over, and he and Junko were alone in the room, which had seen the beginning of their love affair and the end. It seemed to him long ago and inexpressibly sad.On that sofa, he had felt agony and grief such as he would never feel again. He would never be so weak or so tired and miserable and poor. Yet he knew that that boy of 15 months before had had something, a trust, a warmth that was gone forever. The sensible thing. They had done the sensible thing.He had traded his first youth for strength and carved success out of despair.But with his youth, life had carried away the freshness of his love.
晚饭用罢，乔治和琼吉尔又单独待在那间客厅里。这里曾是他俩恋爱开始和结束的地方，而如今显得多么遥远，多么难以言传的凄凉。就在那张沙发上，他曾尝过多少痛苦与哀愁，这是他再也不会感受的了。他再也不会如此软弱，如此疲惫、难过和贫穷。然而他知道，一年零三个月以前的那个小伙子曾有过一种宝贵的东西，一种信任之心。 一种热烈之情。如今已一去不复返。要讲实际嘛，他们正是这么做的。他用青春换来了力量，从绝望中夺取了胜利。可是随着青春的逝去，生活的流水也带走了他的初恋的清新。
You won't marry me, will you? He said quietly. Jonquil shook her dark head. I'm never going to marry, she answered. He nodded. I'm going on to Washington in the morning, he said. Oh, I have to go. I've got to be in New York by the first, and meanwhile, I want to stop off in Washington. Business?No. Oh, he said as if reluctantly, there's someone there I must see who was very kind to me when I was so down and out.
你不会和我结婚吧，对吗？乔治平静地问道。琼吉尔摇摇他那深色头发的头，答道，我永远不结婚了。乔治点点头，说，我明天一早就去华盛顿。啊，我非走不可了，我得在一号之前赶到纽约，还想在华盛顿停一停。有公事？嗯，不是，他显得有几分不太情愿。那里有个人我得去看看，人家在我倒霉的时候对我特别好。
This was invented. There was no one in Washington for him to see. But he was watching Jonquil narrowly.And he was sure that she winced a little, that her eyes closed and then opened wide again.
这一段是编出来的，乔治在华盛顿根本无人可看，但是他却在仔细地观察琼基尔。他确信这多少刺痛了琼基尔。他的眼睛闭上了，随后又睁得大大的。
But before I go, I want to tell you the things that happened to me since I saw you.And as maybe we won't meet again, I wonder if just this once you'd sit in my lap like you used to. I wouldn't ask, except since there's no one else. Yet, perhaps it doesn't matter.
不过，我想在走以前跟你说说咱们分手以后我所经历的事。也许，咱俩以后再也不会见面了。我不知道你可不可以就这一回，还跟从前一样坐在我的怀里好吗？屋里要是有别人的话，我就不会提了。反正大概这不要紧吧。
She nodded, and in a moment was sitting in his lap as she had sat so often in that vanished spring. The feel of her head against his shoulder, of her familiar body, sent a shock of emotion over him. His arms holding her had a tendency to tighten around her.So he leaned back and began to talk thoughtfully into the air.
他点点头，随即坐到了乔治的怀里，就像他在已经消失的那个春天所常做的那样。他的头倚在乔治的肩头，乔治贴近了他那熟悉的身躯，不禁浑身一阵颤动。他搂着琼吉尔，双臂不由自主地要收紧。因此他就往后一靠，望着空中，深思地开始说了起来。
He told her of a despairing 2 weeks in New York, which had terminated with an attractive, if not very profitable job, in a construction plant in Jersey City. When the Peru business had first presented itself, it had not seemed an extraordinary opportunity. He was to be third assistant engineer on the expedition.But only 10 of the American party, including 8 rodmen and surveyors, had ever reached Cusco. 10 days later, the chief of the expedition was dead of yellow fever. That had been his chance, a chance for anybody but a fool, a marvelous chance.
乔治说起他如何在纽约灰心丧气地度过了两周，终于在泽西城一家建筑公司找到差事。虽说挣钱不算很多，但是工作很有意思。秘鲁的这趟出差起初也不起眼，不像是个什么了不起的机遇。在这次远征中，他不过担任第3助理工程师。 但是这批美国人总共才有10个人最终到达库斯科，其中还有8个是标杆员和勘测员。10天以后，领队的头头又得黄热病死了，他的机会来了，真是天赐良机，只要不是个傻瓜，谁都不会错过的。
A chance for anybody but a fool? She interrupted innocently. Even for a fool, he continued. It was wonderful. Well, I wired New York. And so, she interrupted again, they wired that you ought to take a chance? Ought to, he exclaimed, still leaning back. Then I had to. There was no time to lose. Not a minute. Not a minute. Not even time for...She paused. For what? Look.
只要不是傻瓜就行。琼吉尔天真地打断了他的叙述。其实连傻瓜都行。乔治接着说，机会太好了。我就给纽约拍了个电报。于是乎，琼吉尔又插进一句，他们回电说你应该顶上去。不是应该。乔治脱口而出，不过身子还是靠在沙发背上。他们说我必须顶上去，绝不能错过时机。1分钟也不能错过？1分钟也不行？连这点时间都不行？什么时间？你瞧。
He bent his head forward suddenly, and she drew herself to him in the same moment, her lips half open like a flower.Yes, he whispered into her lips. There's all the time in the world. All the time in the world. His life and hers. But for an instant as he kissed her, he knew that though he searched through eternity, he could never recapture those lost April hours.
乔治突然往前一探身，琼吉尔同时微向了乔治。他的双唇半张半合，恰似一朵开放的鲜花。行，行。乔治柔声说道，一面凑近了他的嘴唇。要多少时间就有多少时间。是呀，要多少时间就有多少时间。他的一生和他的一生。然而，在他吻琼吉尔的时候，有一瞬间，他心里是明白的。即使他穷尽未来去寻觅，他也找不回来那已经失去的4月的春光。
感谢您收听今天的美文阅读节目，您还可以通过云听和 CGTN 官方 APP 在线实时收听美文阅读以及轻松调频的其他节目。今天的节目就到这儿，我是沈听，我们明天见。